There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
It's a little soft lens, Barbara Walters. It's not intentional. I'm not going to wipe it off.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. That way you get three new interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones, which you can grab at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review if you feel so inspired as well. Some great guests have dropped by lately, including Father John Misty, Sugar Ray Rayford, Kiana Simone, she's starring in The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. Akon was here to celebrate the 20th anniversary of his debut album, Trouble. We talked with Michelle and Deggy Ocello, Jojo Garza from the Los Lonely Boys, Edie Brickell, the cast of Bad Monkey on Apple TV+, Rob Halford of Judas Priest, Dave Navarro of Jane's Addiction, Jacob Bertram from Cobra Kai, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, comedian John Early. You may have caught his special earlier this year on Max called Now More Than Ever. Now he's got the album version of that on the way. He's going to tell us about modeling the special after the last waltz, coming up with the persona that he portrays, and how growing up gay in Nashville with minister parents led to his comedic style that turns the mirror on performative behavior and liberal posturing. John's also going to reveal some of the stories on the songs that he covers in the special, because it's comedy and music. Those include Britney Spears' Overprotected and Neil Young's After the Gold Rush. And we'll hear about the new material and covers that he's taking on the road for his upcoming tour, as well as the attention he's been getting since playing Taylor Swift's son in her Anti-Hero video. All that and more as we discuss Now More Than Ever. It's Kyle Meredith with John Early.
Hello, Kyle. Thank you for having me.
Been laughing at the absurdity that you've been putting out into the world for a while now.
Thank you.
So thank you for that. But seriously, I know the special has been out for a little bit now, and as I mentioned, it's going to have the vinyl version. So congrats on this, because Now More Than Ever is one of the funniest things that I've seen this year.
That is so nice. Thank you.
Is there, now that it's coming out on record, and you've talked about this, like this concept that you have found for yourself of musician, comedian, and this stage production, sort of even, I think I heard you say mirrored After the Last Waltz, this specific special.
Yes.
Like, yeah. How does that translate to the album?
I was very resistant to ever putting anything on the record with my live performance. You know, it's just something that you do, like, as a comedian, and I was like, well, I guess it's time. Part of why I was resistant, you know, beyond just basic fear and insecurity, was that the live shows were so sacred to me. They were like, there was a kind of tent revival, sweaty, transcendent quality to doing music and with a full band. I was so, it was just a very, and it was also, I was kind of using a part of myself, like a more generous, kind of like lovable, dare I say, a kind of part of myself that often doesn't appear in my like psychotic characters, you know, that I play on TV or that I write for myself, you know. So I always had the instinct to keep it just, that's only for those live audience. That's only for the kind of ticket buyers. And I was really scared that when you would put it on record, that it would just immediately lose. It would just hemorrhage its live quality, you know. And so what I was, so the kind of approach with The Last Waltz on the special was like, that seemed kind of like the only aesthetic option, the gritty 70s rock doc option, was the only way to preserve the liveness of it. And I think it worked. And then similarly with the album, I was like, well, you know, I also was like, I don't know if I will it just work with sound alone? And I was so moved when I first heard the live album all the way through. I was like, this actually is, like, turns out sound, just like pure sound, is so much more vivid. Like, you feel the liveness so much more. So this step of the whole process, and it will be the final step. I'm just telling everyone now. It'll be over. Don't you worry. But like this step of the process is, to me, almost the purest representation of what that live show was. Because, you know, I mean, this is so obvious. Maybe also for like a music person like yourself, it's like I just was kind of rocked by the way, when you're just listening to something and your imagination can do the rest of the work and you're not being told, you know, what it is visually, it's like you really feel like you're in the room. It's really cool.
Yeah, I was I had a similar conversation with Sarah Silverman about this, and we were talking about what you're getting at here.
I was sipping as you said her name, so I didn't get to go, my hero. And it looks like I was being shady. I was like,
Are you kidding? I'm just looking at a name drop over here anyway. So it's
this special would not exist without Jesus's Magic. It was such a formative, important special to me. Okay, keep going.
No, but that was it. Like, that's what we were talking about, because, you know, most of us, you know, at least in my world, like, we had our comedy albums growing up, as, you know, that the same way as we had any music album.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you know, I'm in my 40s now, so it was like Adam Sandler or whoever, you know, was in there. And what you're saying, what you would make up in your head, even my favorite music live albums. Like, I remember, God, when I was a teen, there was a Counting Crows live album that I wore out, and I knew everything it looked like, even though I never saw it. One day I got on YouTube and I looked up and was like, it looks nothing like in my mind. Yeah. And maybe destroyed it a little bit. But
I know. I do think the visual kind of destroys it.
But luckily, like, you know, for years, like, I think what you're doing, it's so easy to see. And I know it's not fair because I saw the special first.
Right, right.
You know, but what you're doing, like the style of comedy that you do up there and the music itself and just the chances that you take. You know, it's like, you know, I don't know if you know, you because you like Eddie Izzard, that is one of the great examples of, like, yes, you probably should see that, like, yeah, there's, yeah, just so many movements. And there's that one point in the special where you run out the door, which, by the way, props to the commitment to the joke.
Thank you.
You know, but other than that, like, you are so visual in your voice. You know, you're so visual in your jokes that it just lends so much, I guess, the compliment.
Well, the jury's still out on whether that can is, you know, translatable to the live album. Like, that was actually something I really contended with in this. Like, I cut two big jokes because I was like, this is just officially over the line. Like, there's like a joke about bowling in the special, if you can call that a joke. But that I had to cut because I was like, all the kind of punchlines here are just utterly visual. This is just, you know. And then there's a joke about like being yourself and the way it looks to be yourself in kind of contemporary internet culture, you know, and it just also completely didn't work. So I was like, I had to kill my darlings a little bit, but it's better for it. It makes it all shorter too.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with John Early. I'd love to hear about where you came up with this character, I guess, if you want to call it that. Like,
yeah.
just a bitch sometimes, I think is the
idea. Yeah, the persona.
Well, just like you have this person in this special, like the band maybe hates him sometimes, you know, and it's very jealous
person,
you know, and even those moments on stage where you slip into this absurd's not the right word. I mean, it's absurd because great comedy is, but just this, you know, I don't know where you have to go in your mind to get to those spots, or maybe I do because I think that's what I appreciate, like a reflection in the humor I like.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, if is there a starting point for the version of you that we see in this special?
Yeah, you know, I've done enough therapy to know, like, I mean, it's also, I don't think it requires, you know, a licensed therapist to figure out. It's like, I grew up, and this is obviously a huge part of the special, like my parents are in the audience. My parents were at one point Presbyterian ministers, you know, like I grew up in a very kind of, I obviously had to be a good boy, you know, and that's very in the kind of culture. That's, I grew up in Nashville.
Which, by the way, I'm just up here in Louisville, so I'm in Nashville. Oh, like, I know the culture, right?
Yes, yes. Okay, amazing. I love Kentucky.
I tolerate Kentucky. I'm from here.
So. No, that's how I feel about Tennessee. But there's a lot to love about Kentucky. But anyway, but I, you know, there's this, I was a very well-behaved, kind of high-achieving, sweet little Southern boy. And so there's kind of, I really obeyed the rules for the most part as like an adolescent and a teen. And I just think there is this like really like a lot of my comedy is a function of just like a delayed adolescence and needing to work through, you know, some things that I think most people work through in their youth. and so there's like a lot of my, like that kind of character, that kind of diva character is me kind of just like trying on what would it be like to be just like totally monstrous and selfish and like, and also what would it be like to wear those feelings right on your face? You know, we all have feelings of jealousy and feeling threatened and, you know, and like, but I have such well like oiled mechanisms of like repression, you know? And so it's like, it's a very fun thing to do, to like, to do the socially unacceptable thing and just like show it right on your face, you know? So that's part of it. And like, you know, and then that obviously really with the special, and I'm really happy I kept this, even though it is very visual, I'm happy I kept it on the album. But, you know, the way I torture my parents, it's like that, it's that bit is like epitomized in the special. And I love it on the album because you also really, because you can't see the light on them, you really feel more than you feel in the film special. Like you really feel the way the audience went totally crazy, and the sweetness of the audience, like just they were so excited to see my parents, and I just find it very tender. It's very sweet,
and that's because you do. So you, as you were saying, you have this diva character, and that could be its own thing. It could be two dimensional if you needed it to be, and you could make a 90s SNL movie out of it or something. But But you do this layered thing because you're deconstructing society. Like, to the people that we're friends with, you know, the people like when we, you know, we believe in science at our house. Like, you know, that's the flags outside my friend's house that like,
yeah, yeah. And my parents
take those moments. And that's what I love, because so much of what we do is probably performative.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why did you lean into that?
Well, you know, I think there's that, that's like what I like to do. It's what I've always liked to do, like predating Trump. You know, I think it was my kind of like larger comedic project, if it could even be called that, if it's ever even that like deliberate or conscious. But if you look at anything I've ever made, it's like there's kind of this through line of like kind of poking fun at like liberal posturing. And I say this as a like leftist, you know, like I'm a lefty, you know, but it's always been kind of important to me to kind of poke at some of the hypocrisies of like smiley liberal culture, you know, and like, and then that kind of became really confusing once Trump got in office, because it was like, oh, things are so dire with the right that like to poke fun at the left would not be good for the cause, you know, and I felt very confused. I really, really struggled with like what to do with my kind of like these comedic tendencies of mine. And I think the special was very exciting for me because I did feel like that something was relaxing in the culture and like people were ready to kind of make fun of themselves again. And, you know, I mean, I would say Democrats are still really, really largely very bad at criticizing themselves at all or taking responsibility for their part in the like disaster that we're in. But like, that's another thing. I'm more talking about like attitudes, behaviors, you know, I don't know. That's just always kind of been a little naughty thing that I like to do.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, we are, cause I get exactly what you're saying. The stuff that we couldn't say, and I don't mean like in a cancel culture sort of way, but you know, sure, that too. But like the stuff that, as you said, like we would have made fun of each other and everybody would have been cool with it. And suddenly you're like, ooh, you know, but it does. It feels like that's coming back around. Like we're a little bit.
No, it's healthy. It's a good sign.
Right.
It's really, really a good sign. And like, and also it's just like my audience, do I need to attack the right? I need to make fun of the right for my Brooklyn crowd. It's like that. That's the thing that I find so funny about like, especially in our like echo chambers. Like we're only with, this is what I find so devastating about doing comedy now. It's like, we're only playing to people who have are algorithmically, their brains have been smoothed out to have the exact same opinions as us, you know? And so it's like, it's so hilarious to me when I see like a comic get really like righteous about the right. Like when, you know, like sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes their audiences that could actually be provocative or interesting for their specific audiences. For my audience, like it would be insane. Like I'm performing in Brooklyn, I'm performing in Silver Lake, and like that's it, you know. And no one needs to be like, you know, have my finger waved in their face about like the right, you know. So it's like, I don't know. That's just always been all my heroes too. It's like, it's, that's always like Sarah Silverman, you know, that's like her whole thing too. It's like, she's.
No, that's, and of course that's one of the reasons why we're such big fans of what you do and the music as we started out on here, because your musical choices in this special from Overprotected, not the most obvious of the Britney songs.
Thank you. I'm proud of that.
What I loved, by the way, God, there was such a nerd moment because in the special, you're like, any Britney song. And then, of course, you're asking for one specific Britney song, as we find out. And you can hear the crowd trying to figure it out. And you start getting very specific. What was it? Third album, third single. Third single, right. And I'm guessing somebody has probably pulled their phone out at this point.
Yeah.
And they said, not a girl, not yet a woman.
Yes.
Which wasn't correct, but was correct internationally.
Wait, how did you know this? this happened to me. Like, I actually had a problem with this in Canada.
Uh-huh.
When I did the show.
And it's not the same. The release schedule was different.
Yes.
Like, of course, I'm the nerd that looks at, you know, at all of that stuff anyway. I mean, that's, you know, it's my job. It's my hobby, too.
But when I heard them saying that, I thought, I wonder if they, and I looked it up and that's what it was. I'm like, that's hilarious.
Yes. No, I know. I actually had this problem. Like when I did the show in Toronto, someone like messaged me after and was like, babe, it was the second single. And I was like, in your country? I was like, don't think I don't know about the international release plan, sweetie. Like, but yeah, it has confused that bit a little bit. But in my little Tennessee life, it was the third single and an underperforming, overprotected, underperformed.
Yeah, again, that's when you started it, and I was watching it with my wife, we're watching it and everything. I was like, oh yeah, I kind of remember this one.
Yeah, kind of.
Because that was Slave, the first single? Was that record?
It was Slave, then I'm Not a Girl, then
yeah.
Or
and God, those first two singles were just unstoppable.
I know.
That Overprotected probably just had no chance at the time, you know? It was just like, it was going to be sold up.
And there's something, I don't know, like there is something kind of, I guess, like modest about it in a weird way. It's like, it is just like it's like a well-made pop song, but it's not like doing the, like I'm a Slave for You was so like, and now I'm going with the Neptunes. This is a brand new thing, baby. Like Overprotected could have been on the previous two albums in a way, but like, I just think it's so, it's like all the kind of chord progressions, the key changes, like it's very, there's something very like particularly like soaring about it. It like has these moments where it really like takes off and feels very like major and like in the musical sense. And like, it's so, I find it to be a very emotional song, and that's certainly not what I played to in the performance of it, but I do love to do it live for that reason.
The juxtaposition in that and several of the songs, you know, because the pop songs, and then you've got After the Gold Rush.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Beautiful version that's so perfectly placed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, you all sounded so good on that.
Oh my God. I'm so proud of that. That was going to be a Madonna song. That was going to be Take a Bow.
Right.
And that was back when I was like, very kind of defiantly, like, I refuse for this thing to be like I was like, I know other people have their perfect little shows with their perfect little themes and their big kind of like emotional cathartic moment in the final act. Like, I was like, but I'm going to do an old school kind of variety show. It won't be cohesive, you know? And I was like, so I'm just going to choose my favorite songs and it's going to be a party. And like, that was the kind of whole approach. And then I was just, I mean, honestly, I was like going through a breakup and like music was just more like, it was just hitting me harder. And I was like listening to the Trio, the Dolly Parton, Linda Ronstadt, and Lou Harris album, and both albums. And like, I was listening to Trio all the time.
Until they felt the blues moving in.
And I, the After the Gold Rush cover was like really haunting me. It was like, and I also was like, oh my God, I kind of couldn't look away from it. Cause I was like, this does actually absorb all these themes that are kind of like subtly swirling around the stand-up. This like kind of me talking about this like bombed out culture, this like internet culture, and this like, you know, and needing to like leave it behind and go to a new planet, you know, like, I don't know. It actually just like made sense to me on some weird level. And I was like, oh, I could group all that material there and we could go into that song and it could, and like, you know, and Dominique and Princess, like we love to do, like, if I had my way, there would be no solos. Like I wish we could just always do three part harmony, you know? And like, I was really excited about doing like a country folky three-part harmony thing. And it just, that ended up being the reason I think why the special is like actually meaningful to me, is that that whole sequence and underscoring and going into it. And like, it was just a new style of joke. It was like, the joke is the kind of audacity of me doing it. The audacity of being like, no, I like, there is a kind of emotional thing underneath my stand-up, and like, and I am gonna sing this song, and like I really actually do think it's moving, and like, and we're gonna move right along. We're gonna out right after I'll do Donna Summer. I'm not gonna dwell in it, but like it was a new, it was definitely a new tone for me, and I think it's what makes the special and the album, to be clear, it's what makes it it's, I feel like it's even more of a surprise on the album version because you really can't hear it coming or see it coming. You can't see it coming. But anyway, I'm so glad you liked that. I think that's like that's my favorite part of the whole thing.
That's really, as you're saying, it's a level up moment,
Yeah.
to show that, because you think of like the greatest of all time comedians, and the way, whether you're going all the way back to George Carlin, Lenny Bruce, where you could tell full stories that were very serious,
Yeah.
almost more than funny, but then the punchline would hit
Yeah.
and it becomes, comedy.
Yes,
Suddenly,
totally.
to have that in your tool belt suddenly, I mean, that's fun danger to play with.
Yeah, totally. And it was like my friend, the great Cola Scola, was like after that show, after that taping, they were like, "You're a cabaret artist." I was like, I didn't realize it, but that's all I've ever wanted to do is just do cabaret. Like but I've kind of, I don't know, had the received kind of like, that's cheesy thing. And like, and I was like, no, this is actually, it makes me like my stand-up more when it's like underscored and it can like, and I can actually, what was so revolutionary for me was like, oh, now I can act my stand-up. Like without music, the whole job of the acting is like, it's just, you're just trying to pass it off as conversational. You're like, I'm thinking this up in real time. Like, that's the acting job. When there was music underneath it, suddenly it was about like yearning and like, and I could like look at the audience and like try to connect with them and like beg and like, and plead and like, and commiserate. And there, suddenly I just had something to do as an actor. And it was like, that was really thrilling.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with John Early. Just to backtrack for a second, did you actually work up Take a Bow? Are you all able to play that these
Oh
days?
yeah. I mean, that's part of the problem is we used to do that song live. We did it for years, and it would always be the kind of slow, moody part of the show, and like I love that song. And we did it, we do it well. And so it was like, well, I thought like we gotta do our greatest hits,
You can still put it out there if you wanted to, which, and God, and of course I love Madonna, and it's hard for me to pick, but I'm a 90s teen, so 90s of Madonna. I went back to the ballads record where, she does I'll Remember and Playground, which she had, I didn't know she had never performed live until she did an a cappella snippet on this last tour.
Which I was there. I was there. I went
Did
to
you hear her do that? Like,
the show.
I would have lost my shit if I heard her do Playground.
I think she did a little snippet of it and maybe then went into Live to Tell and did this like beautiful like AIDS tribute, like, which again is something that like if you describe that to me, I would be like, well, this sounds schmaltzy or maudlin or something. It was like I was like in tears. It was so tastefully done. It was so beautiful.
Once she shows up to the stage, man, she'll still knock it out.
I
That's
know. It was insane. It was such an incredible show.
She came to Louisville probably two or three tours back. It was 6, 7 years probably at this point. And because it was Madonna, she just decided to use a Southern accent nearly the entire show. 3 hours late and a Southern accent. And we still had a blast, even though it was like between every song, you'd look at the person next to you going, "What the fuck is she doing?"
It's 1 a.m.
You all are taking this out on you're going out on tour, so
Yes.
that's what my the question was. I don't know what you're taking on tour. Like, what is this tour? Is it a reflection of the special? Is it all new?
So the tour is
With the Lemon Squares, I should say, this is your band.
yes. I'm going like so For all the southern stops, not that I know that this has a wider reach than that, but I'm taking the Lemon Squares out for New York and LA. Those are just the bigger theaters. And then for the rest of the tour, Michael Hessline, who Hess on the keys, he's gonna come with me, and he's also like the producer, the kind of music supervisor producer of this whole thing. And he and I like we. This like little these extra songs that are on the album, the additional songs are like our little labor of love. And he did such beautiful like arrangements, like Rock the Boat. He did this like Burt Bacharach kind of like jazzy key changey arrangement of. He's totally brilliant. He's coming out on tour with me, and we're doing the music is mostly the additional songs plus some surprise ones. So it's none of the songs from the special, and it's none of the material from the special. It's all new material. Vicky with a V will be there. She's very generously coming on tour with me to help boost sales. And then we have new songs, and we have some a couple like surprise never before done covers that I think people are gonna never before done.
Why not? Never before done by you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, which no one asked for. Yeah, I'm just so excited because we put so much. The additional songs on the album are like we did those after the kind of success of the special, and by success I just mean my own private like kind of like, oh, we can do this, like we're allowed to take the music seriously, we're allowed to care, like it worked, like at least for us and the audience and a lot of the people who watched it, it like we can do it. And so we really like we felt full permission to like really care and really work hard on the music. And so I'm very excited to do those live.
Wow, I really want to know what these songs are. I have to come see the
You
show.
have to come. I mean, there's Atlanta, Durham, Nashville.
I'll probably come down to the Nashville one. Yeah.
You have to come, and my parents are going to be there.
Of course, then I have to come. Is
So you
your
can
dad gonna
finally meet my
bring his trumpet?
parents. I'm not gonna put him through that. I made him come out of trumpet retirement to do the tracks, to do Rock the Boat and American Life. And he like, he was so nervous because he used to play every day, he used to like warm up every day, and he's really just for some reason was just like, I'm done. And so I'm not gonna make him do it live.
But if he wants to,
If he wants, but I guarantee he does
he
not
does
want
not. Oh, that's cool though. No, that's the easy drive. I would love to see that show. On top of all this, what else did I see here? Eternity? Is that the next movie we'll see in?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. Yeah, I just did that. It's coming out in probably 100 years. I just shot it in Vancouver, if anyone cares. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. It's the tour. That's pretty much it.
Well, again, it's fun just to see you pop up. Even all the stuff throughout your career, I was thinking like you have the you, you you're I think you're the only person who can say you've played Taylor Swift's son and Jenna Maroney's son.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
so
you.
that's
I've never put those two next to each other, and that is, it's really true. I've played the son of some iconic blondes.
But again, being a Taylor Swift video, talk about leveling up. Like, I don't
Oh
know.
my God.
Do you notice that that has added anything to the crowd when you go out?
I don't think it's added anything to my crowds, but
It's all added to her crowds. I see. Yeah,
yes, no, exactly. Her
it's
sales are through the roof,
awesome.
obviously, now that I did the video. But it is just like people are so excited about that. Like kind of like more than anything I've ever done. Like in a way that's sometimes crushing. But like yeah, no, it's like that's something that like the locals really care about. And it also like it's very sweet too, like the way like I'm now suddenly like for like the teeny boppers, like they think it's so cool that I did that, and I don't think they care about anything else I've done. So that's been really sweet.
Just think like, because what more recently, what Ethan Hawke being in one of those, like it's probably the same thing for him. The guy's a legend. He's been in a million amazing movies. They're like, yeah, but you were in a Taylor Swift video and that's what counts.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's so funny with my nieces. They're like too young to even understand like what a music video is. Like they love the music video, but I have this like thing in me where I'm like, get ready, because in a few years, this will really blow your mind that I was in this. Like, I'm like, this is huge. This isn't a sketch, sweetie. This is big this deal. Is international. They're like four. You're like, what?
rubbing it in now, right? That's yeah. You'll get it. Now More Than Ever is so good. The special is so good. The album, I will have the album as well. And I can't wait to see this new live show that you're putting out there, man.
Oh my God, you have to come and you have to listen to the new songs.
Oh, I will be listening. I will absolutely be listening to the new songs. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm not going to pass those up. Dude, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it all today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This was so fun.
My thanks to John. The new album and special is called Now More Than Ever. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Before you leave, hit that subscribe button wherever you are listening from right now so you can get all the interviews that we put out. 3 a week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org. Consequence, YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And again, please do give the series a rating or review while you're hanging around. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s, the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Neil Young, Big Star, Girls' School, Shovels and Rope, Cake, Space Hog, The L Word soundtrack, Angelfish, Nine Inch Nails, Morphine, Modern English, Bakar, 10,000 Maniacs, Talking Heads, Foo Fighters, Iron and Wine, and my interview with Tammy Stronach, who was the childlike empress of The Neverending Story. She's back after 40 years since that movie, acting only for the second time in a new movie that she co-wrote called Man and Witch. That's out now. Just an example of what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same as at Kyle Meredith, and I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition of Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm retweeting. I can see the post now.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
And now, save 50% on the new Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.